Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you. Do some research. Go to websites. Look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. As always, we ask that you invite your friends and family throughout the country to come join us, come and learn with us. Let us reason together. There are so many things plaguing this nation that we really all need to talk to one another, to listen to one another, and we hope to allow that through a little bit of this radio show. But first of all, we'd like for God to start us really on the right foundation. So I might turn it over to Ms. Barbara Moore, where she always gives us words of wisdom. Hi, Ms. Barbara. Oh, I apologize. Let me see. Ms. Barbara, I have not even unmuted you. Hi, Ms. Barbara. Hi. Sorry about that. I got carried away. We've been talking before the radio show. My mind's already on that problem, but go ahead, Ms. Barbara.
Well, mine as well. And I was just going to say, if I ever do have words of wisdom, it's because I'm quoting the Bible or I'm quoting some of our wise founding fathers or, you know, I'm quoting others, sharing their wisdom. And one of the, I'd like to start with a quote by George Washington today. He said, "The favorable smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and the eternal rules of right, which heaven itself has ordained." So we can't expect the favorable smiles of heaven upon our land if we don't acknowledge the order, God's very clearly defined order that he reveals in the Bible regarding parents and children, families, and that order, and that parents have been given the privilege and the responsibility for raising their children, training them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is the role of parents, and children are to obey their parents, and, it's very clearly defined throughout Scripture. You know, just from Genesis to Revelation, you will encounter what God says about his order within the family and the proper role. So if we disregard that, according to George Washington, if we disregard that, then we cannot expect God to smile on us and give us favor anymore. So we need to really seriously consider that, and the policies that we allow our government, whether it's local, state, or national, the policies that we allow our government to make regarding children, regarding families, regarding representatives of our children and our families and so forth. So thinking about all that, let's bow our heads and bow our hearts, bow our knees before the Lord and pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, that you do reveal what is right in your word. And Father, I do pray that increasingly throughout this land and indeed throughout the world, that many will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Many will have their eyes open, Father, that veil lifted, where they can understand spiritual things, where they can have a hunger for your word, a hunger for truth, to be thirsty for the word of life, the water, the fountain, from the fountain of life. Father, we do pray for a great awakening. We pray for a great revival in this land and throughout the world. Father, we acknowledge that all the difficulties that we're facing, all the terrible, terrible policies regarding children and families that we're facing, those policies, Father, we've allowed that to happen. Your people have allowed that to happen. We haven't raised our voices. We haven't been involved in the process. We haven't properly protected our children from those policies, Lord. And we would ask your mercy. We would ask your forgiveness. And, Father, we would ask that you would raise up many, many more, Father, to get into the battle on behalf of children, to protect them. And also, Father, to honor you, Lord. We acknowledge, Lord, that it is only in you that we can know the truth. And, Father, it's only in you that we can, that we have the desire to do what's right. So we thank you, Father. Many others are praying for that great awakening and that great revival. We join with them, Father, and we know that it is your desire that many come to eternal life. So we agree with you, O God. And we pray for our program now that Father, that you would, Father, help us and speak through us, Lord, and share your truths, Lord. We pray for many to receive your word of truth, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Oh, thank you, Ms. Barbara. You know, it really boils down to we do have hope, thank the Lord, because if we did not have him as our hope, I just don't see how we could go on, Ms. Barbara. I mean, we're looking at the fight, you know, that we have.
Yeah. If not for God, you know, we might as well close up shop. We might as well go to the house. And but with God, all things are possible. And we're not the first. We need to remember that. We're not the first to face seemingly impossible challenges. Many have gone before us and have faced them, and with God they were able to overcome the difficulties and bring truth and do what's right, and right prevailed. We have to remember that right prevailed. So we can be encouraged. We know and love and serve the God of all hope, the God of all encouragement. He would not have us to be discouraged. the news that you shared about the workforce development bill that was passed into law here in Alabama was like a, you know, it was like a blow, a punch in the gut, if you will. And it knocked the wind out of my sails for a bit. Thank you for that reassurance, Diana, that you give that, you know, with God, all things are possible.
And Ms. Barbara, it's nothing new in this nation, is it? Because, you know, I just love it. That's what I hate about the fact that they're taking away history, is because children lose that hope when they grow up. It's just like I shared with a group of young people that I remember going to our state house, and there used to be something called the State House Inn right there in Montgomery. I don't know if you remember that, Ms. Barbara. You know, it's an inn where a lot of people stay. Well, yeah. We went there not too long ago, and it was just red clay, as if it's never been there before. It was taken down, and, you know, I was just, it was a lesson on how if the foundation be removed, you know, you would not know there's ever been such a place. And so that's been wiped out out of the minds of all the future generations, that, you know, that there's never been such a place in their mind. And that's like our Constitution. That's like our history of God's hand. When you share that about how George Washington had 13 bullet holes in his jacket, Ms. Barbara, and he was on horseback on the French and Indian War, and the chieftain was even aiming at him, and, you know.
Diana, it wasn't 13, actually. It was 4.
Oh, okay. 4 bullet holes.
It was 4.
Oh, okay.
in his jacket, and he knew that God had preserved his life and said so. He wrote about that and said that that he knew beyond, you know, I'm paraphrasing, beyond a shadow of a doubt that God had spared his life when he found those 4 bullet holes in his jacket. He had 2 horses shot out from under him and 4 bullet holes in his jacket. Yeah.
Now, did I remember this right, that officers were on horseback and so they were shooting at the officers easily? And was there other officers that made it through there, Ms. Barbara? Do you remember?
The Edward Braddock was the general in charge of that battle. He was sent from England, and he actually had 4 horses shot out from under him, and he died of wounds that he had received. He was a very stubborn by the book and was used to fighting a certain way, the European way of lining up, and he expected the Indians to do the same, which they did not. And George Washington, the young officer, tried to tell him, and he refused to even consider what George Washington was telling him. So, Edward Braddock died in the battle. Washington was able to help some retreat, but it was a terrible, terrible loss for the English. George Washington actually had Edward Braddock, the highest-ranking officer, the general, buried in the middle of the road that he had built on the way to Fort Duquesne, and he had him buried in the middle of the road, and had horses and wagons trample it down, and he did that knowing that if the Indians found body, and they would dig it up and they would cut it up, they would desecrate his body. So Washington was very careful to make sure that his burial place was disguised, you know, and had a day
from his father?
And also George Washington preached his funeral and prayed with the people.
Well, Miss Barbara, it just reminds me of how, you know, the founders really looked beyond. They were very, very intellectual, very deep thinker. You know, we think today that we're promoting deep and critical thinking, but the founding fathers, besides being critical thinkers, they were also common sense thinkers. And but he was ahead of the enemy and knowing what to do. And and I think of the Constitution and how beautifully it was wrought because they had that kind of mindset. They were really the deeper, higher level thinkers that, you know, people want to search for today but cannot find, can hardly find, what I should say.
That's right. You know, the United States Constitution is the oldest written constitution in the world, and many other countries have gone through many, many forms of government and different constitutions and so forth. So the United States has been the most stable nation ever. And they had the knowledge, and they knew history, so that you know, the speech that Ben Franklin gave when he gave the call to prayer, he said, we've examined every form of government in the history of the world, and we have found that none of them are adequate for our purpose. So it, you know, they had examined they knew history. And they learned from history. They learned about the mistakes that were made in other countries with other governments. And they knew that they were going to try to avoid those mistakes. Yes, they had great intellect. They knew many languages. Most of the men there, of the 55 men there in 1787, most of them knew many different languages. They were highly intellectual. They were their libraries, their personal libraries were enormous. You know, Thomas Jefferson actually sold his library to the United States government, and it became the basis for the Library of Congress. You know, they were very knowledgeable. You're right. You're absolutely right, Diana.
And Ms. Barbara, I want to contrast that because, you know, we've had a chance to listen to Wisdom from David Barton, and, you know, there's so many CDs and DVDs that David Barton has accumulated, and, you know, because he wants the young people, future generation, to know about the legacy, their heritage, the history. But one of the things that I remember is I think he points out that, you know, hey, you know, when homeschoolers, and you said it yourself, you know, they're being, you know, the colleges really like for the homeschoolers to, you know, attend because it boosts the GPA. And but I think one of the things that David Barton says, you know, when these kids do so well, it's not because they're being asked questions about the Bible. It's because the God says wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is really the fear of the Lord. And there's something about that when you are in the Word, it does something, I think, to a person supernaturally when they're really asking God for wisdom. You know, he gives it. It's like an answered prayer because that's one of the things David Barton says. You know, they're not asking them questions about the Bible. They're being asked big questions. They're doing so well, and you know, as a group, they really do incredibly well. And then he also talked about, I think, and you have said that too, about the inventions. When you look at the inventions, the discoveries, the majority of them that's really made a difference for the world is held, done by Christians, believers. And so there's something about that, and again, I think it's going back to the truth in that the beginning of wisdom is the fear or awe of God. There is something supernatural that happens when a child is exposed to that.
That's right. That's right. And if we do have the fear of the Lord, the respect and awe of the Lord, what we will do is study His Word, and we will spend time with Him. And the Bible says that in His light, in God's light, we shall see light. We shall have understanding. So there's so much in God's Word that, I mean, it's just, we as we read it, as we apply it, we are transformed. We really are transformed, and we do have an understanding that can be gotten no other way, no other way, but through the Lord. And God wants everyone to have that, Diana. He desires it. None should go without that. But it comes with Him. It does not come apart from Him. It cannot be bought. It cannot be earned. It cannot be gotten or obtained in any other way but with God. So,
and
you know,
Barbara,
yes.
I'm sorry, Ms. Barbara. And it, again, it contrasts with the ways of the world now. You know, we've been so successful, but we're seeing now a decline. And then there are these people that businesses that, you know, they need more workers. Yeah, we want people to have good jobs and everything. And it's almost like they see themselves as the solution. And now here in our state of Alabama, and it's happening like that, I know, all over the country, because we see articles on that, you know. And here in the state of Alabama, the latest thing is the Business Council of Alabama is going to be advising the State Board of Education for K through 12. Isn't it rather strange that a parent has no input because, you know, they've taken that away with the Common Core standards, but here's the governor of Alabama signing and giving authority and right to the Business Council of Alabama. And I'm thinking, Ms. Barbara, have they not learned? Have they not learned a lesson from the past? It is not man. It is not man that's going to improve education, no matter how hard they try, because as we've seen, Ms. Barbara, with the Department of Ed, it's men, you know, forming all sorts of new programs every time we turn around, investing more money. Yet if I recall right, you know, kids can't even add without a calculator now.
Well, you know, yes, exactly. I think we need to oppose that takeover of education by groups like the Business Council of Alabama, who will be dictating policy to the State Board of Education instead of the people who elect the state school board members having that influence and that input bottom up. Instead, it's going to come top down. The Business Council of Alabama is going to be advising them on policy. Which, where in the world do they get the legislature thinks that they can turn over the control to the Business Council, but it's unconstitutional. In the Alabama Constitution, it doesn't give the legislature privilege of relinquishing responsibility to a private entity. And that's what the Business Council of Alabama is. It is unelected. It is unaccountable. And this is an unconstitutional act. I hope that it will be taken to the courts and shown that it is unconstitutional for a private entity like that to have such a powerful position of influencing educational policy over the state school board and doing away with the influence of those people who vote. You know, they're negating the vote, the voting privilege and right of the people when they've done this. But one of the things I think that we need to look at is, you know, what do businesses actually want in an employee? And what they want in an employee is what we had years ago with children learning to read and understand what they're reading and how to write and communicate effectively, verbally, and by writing. And they want employees to understand math without using a calculator or a computer or whatever else, you know. Basic, they want basic education. They want, you know, I would think that they would also want people knowledgeable about our country. Wouldn't you think that they, I mean, they used to want that, that they would be good citizens and they would be honest and dependable. Those virtues, those biblical virtues, honesty, dependability, you know, things like that, I mean, and, you know, we haven't been focusing on those things in education, and certainly Common Core doesn't focus on those things, Diana.
Well, Ms. Barbara, you know, I had seen where somebody had said something about, you know, it's like the beginning of serfdom all over again. And I'm looking at this quote, Ms. Barbara. It says, this is from Billy Canary from their website. The business community in Alabama is, by far, the largest consumer created by our state's school system. And I'm thinking, Ms. Barbara, since when did children... The business community in Alabama is by far the largest consumer of the product created by our state's school system. The product, is that talking about worker bees? Is that what that is?
Well, I don't know. It sounds like they're talking about a piece of meat.
I think we need to set him straight. I don't know what this Mr. Billy Canary is thinking to have made a statement and then for our governor to, in essence, agree with such a statement and for all our legislators. I mean, if they didn't realize that's what he meant, he said it right there. The children are the product. And I think the parents need to let their legislators know our children are not products.
Well, yes. Parents do need to let them know. And grandparents need to let them know, and citizens, decent people, need to let them know that our children are not products, they're not human resources, they're not going to be worker bees, and, you know, this is being dictated from the top down, and without giving... people freedom to choose their course in life, and
Ms. Barbara, let me add something else to Ms. Barbara. The other part of the sentence: the business community in Alabama is by far the largest consumer of the product created by our state school systems. So it is imperative that graduates possess the skills and education that the 21st century workplace demands.
Okay, 21st century workplace. Now, it demands an education that's different from that of Thomas Jefferson, who spoke many different languages and who was an architect, a statesman, an inventor, a writer, and he, you know, penned the greatest document of creed for our country and for freedom-loving people all over the world. You know, are they saying that a 21st century education demands something different from that?
Apparently, Ms. Barber, and we've already seen, you know, what the developers of Common Core really has developed. You know, it's so sad, Ms. Barber, because I'm really shocked because a lot of the legislators that signed on, I don't think they realized what they were signing on.
They ought to read it, and they ought to be able to think. If they can't think through something like that, what is blatantly, you know, it's not hidden. I'm sorry. I do not give them the benefit of the doubt. They have the responsibility to read and understand what they're reading. They, you know.
Well, Ms. Barber, you know what it sounds like to me. I hate to say it, but in short, it sounds like our children are for sale.
I suppose that the Business Council of Alabama contributes heavily to the campaign funds of the legislators, of the governor. Is that what you're saying?
And isn't that what you do with products? I mean, isn't that what you do with products? You sell, you buy and sell products?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I'm just really thinking about what he said. He called them products, so apparently you can pay a lot for the product and get the kind of product you want. So I'm hoping parents will get wind of this because, you know, another thing that's so hard, Ms. Barbara, and I know it gets to your heart, is while they're making all these plans for their products, you know, we already know that the plans, the standards are not appropriate for these children. They are having a hard time because it was not developed with any input from people that knows how the mind works, how the little children's minds needs to be developed. And to me, you know, that is the most hurtful thing because we're talking about, you know, when you destroy the mind of a child, you in essence destroy a person. And so what they're doing, you know, they're thinking, well, this is going to be good, this is going to be making more money, but they're so clouded in their thinking because of that dollar that they don't realize they are hurting the most precious people, you know, that God has gifted us.
Well, it's my understanding that there were not even any early elementary school teachers putting this plan together. Now, if anybody knows children, you know, teachers who work with young children know and understand them, and they should have been a major part of developing standards and a curriculum for young children, but they were not. Isn't that correct?
Oh, Ms. Barbara, that's one of the most heartbreaking facts, that if just parents just knew. I look at the joint statement of early childhood health and education professionals, as you're talking about, that issued a statement on March the 2nd of 2010. They said, we have grave concerns about the core standards for young children now being written by the National Governors Association and the Council of Chief State School Officers. The draft standards made public in January conflict with compelling new research in cognitive science, neuroscience, child development, and early childhood education about how young children learn, what they need to learn, and how best to teach them kindergarten and the early grades. And this was ignored. And when I look at the list, Ms. Barber, of the names of these people that went out of their way, one, I'll just name some of them here, right here. Ruth H. Arano, Senior Academic Advisor, Krieger School of Arts and Sciences, John Hopkins University, Baltimore. Edith Adams Allison, Learning Disability Specialist, Amherst, Massachusetts. Joan Allman, Executive Director, Alliance for Childhood, College Park, Maryland. Daphnis Apul, Assistant Professor of Civil Engineering, University of Toledo, Ohio. Laura M. Bennett Murphy, Associate Professor of Psychology, Westminster College. Marilyn Benoit, past president of the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry. And Ms. Barber, these were 500 people with stature that should have been listened to but was ignored.
Well, that says a lot right there, Diana. It really speaks volumes. And it's heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking what's happening to all our children, but especially those just starting out, you know, just starting out when they should be experiencing joy at learning and developing a love of learning and not be forced to take tests all the time and a lot of pressure put on them and all this grade level inappropriate material being pushed on them. And it's just, it's got to stop. We've got to stop Common Core, and we've got to reverse this workforce development law here in Alabama that gives the business council authority to influence policy. My goodness, that was fast, and that was, it was done. I guess there were no hearings about it or anything, huh, Diana?
Well, we've had all this bad weather, and too, it's a short session, Ms. Barbara, and so what they're saying is, you know, we wanted it to be a quiet session. It's going to be a short session. We don't want any of the – we don't want Common Core bills, you know, in there because it's too – I guess it's too hot. But these others, you know, it's like they're all walking in the same drumbeat and not bothering to even really look out for the people, Ms. Barbara. It's so heartbreaking because it was almost unanimous. I don't remember seeing a no vote. It looked like it was just 100%. And all I can say is, I guess as an excuse, is they were brainwashed. After all, when you've got money and you've got, and I know some of the legislators are going to take issue with that statement, Ms. Barbara. I'm giving them a benefit of a doubt to brainwash, because like you said, Ms. Barbara, this is their job. This is their job, is to look and to read and to understand and to look out for we the people. I thought that was their job.
And it's also to listen to input from the people, to seek public input. You know, they don't want public input, obviously. They get in there and they do what they want to do and get out of there, you know, really fast.
It's just really heartbreaking, Ms. Barbara, and I'm thinking, I think that, you know, there's got to be some... I mean, the media, I hate to say, you know, isn't covering hardly anything. So, but, you know, one thing that we do know is, you know, I think there is, now the hands are pretty much laid bare. We can't ask ourselves anymore the question, well, does the governor, you know, really stand against Common Core? Because right here, he just gave a blanket approval.
Yeah.
To the other side.
That's right. So even though he voted against it before, apparently he's gone over to the other side. Gone over to the dark side, Diana.
I know it. And I don't know, Miss Barbara, I guess they don't think that votes matter. I guess if people don't know, Miss Barbara's right, votes don't matter. Because if people don't know, they will vote the same way they've always voted.
That's right. That's right. If we don't have transparency, we don't have reporting, decent reporting. You know, they even, I don't know whether they passed this bill that gives the leadership in the legislature the power and the authority to restrict press that they don't approve of, the media that they don't want to cover, the legislative process. I don't know whether they passed that or not, but I think it was in the hopper. I think it was in the incubator being hatched. Do you know if they passed that one?
I think they did, Miss Barb, but I was just thinking, what does it matter? They've had the press anyway, so I don't understand what that was all about. So,
well, I think they had a few questions this past couple of weeks by some of the press that they did not know, and they were being asked some questions that they didn't want to answer. I do know that was happening, but I think the bill was in process before that occurred, so I don't know. I don't know.
Well, the only thing I think is it's just like with Obamacare. You can spin it all the way you want, but when people are actually being affected by it at home in their own bodies, then I think, you know, you're going to get a wake-up call.
Well, yeah, I think so too. There's a lot of complications with education, and Americans are used to sending their children to school, to the local schools, and many times they know the teachers and the people at the school, and there's a trust there, and they're busy. They're really busy. Parents are really busy these days, just trying to keep their heads above the water, trying to survive, and they're not tuned in. Well, for one thing, I think back, Diana, when I was a young parent, I had no idea, you know, what was going on. No idea. And I participated in the things that parents do. You know, we were at the school. We were involved in the children's lives. But I would not have known, just like parents today. Many of them are still very much unaware of Common Core and the harmful effects of it and the takeover of education by the federal government and all that that entails. They're unaware, and they're still trusting that schools are teaching what needs to be taught, and, you know,
I want to ask you about the Constitutional Convention, Ms. Barb, but before I ask you that, sorry, there's some hearings coming up, but I know that as flawed as these people are, I mean, I guess I'll go into the Constitutional Convention because I done forgot my question. Sorry, Ms. Barbara. I interrupted you. Then get whatever.
Oh, okay.
But the Constitutional Convention, I know that I had seen, you know, where Eagle Forum was, you know, I think it was Eagle Forum was talking about that. But, you know, Mark Levin is promoting it. But it's like somebody said when, you know, that was in hope of the Republicans doing the right thing. But as we see here in our state, these are Republicans.
Right, right. Well, Mark Levin, if I'm understanding it correctly, I believe Mark Levin was promoting a very specific, a very limited and very specific issue for the Constitutional Convention, according to Article 5, for the states. You know, and it would have to be, what I saw that Alabama was proposing was, I mean, it was so wide and so broad, you could get anything through it, you know? You could get everything through it. It could change entirely the form of government. So, I mean, it was ridiculous. I don't think that what they're proposing in Alabama is the same thing that Mark Levin was proposing.
Yeah, I've heard Mark Levin's too, and it did sound good. Some of that, I think, was restricting how many times they can run. That sounds good to me. I think that was one of those. But, I mean,
yeah,
just looking at the bills that we have.
Yeah. If you're going to have a constitutional convention for the states, it has to be limited to like an amendment, to amendments, very specific amendments, term limits, balanced budget. That's what I would go for: term limits and a balanced budget, and marriage between a man and a woman. I think if it were limited to those three things. You know, that there could, the country could be straightened out if the states voted rightly for term limits, for a balanced budget, and for sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman, which is what God instituted and ordained. You know, I think it would be okay. But beyond that, no way, because all kinds of things, as you said, could we trust, and we shouldn't. We shouldn't trust legislators beyond that scope.
It's really sad, the state of affairs, Ms. Barbara. When, you know, we had hoped for better, but unfortunately. But the good thing is it is an election year, Ms. Barbara, and I think peers can make a difference, you know, because unfortunately they are seeing the results in their own homes. Today, you know, I got another Facebook, you know, posting from somebody about the concerns of, you know, about their children. And these are really very smart children, but they don't feel very smart with, you know, these testings. So, you know, it's like that picture, Ms. Barbara, that went viral, you know, about the little seven-year-old who is a four-year cancer survivor, very smart little girl. And, you know, they don't want to be pulled out of their little class to be put in a special class so they can understand the common core way of doing this math or whatever. And so they're struggling in their own mind. They're trying to fix it where they can understand, Ms. Barbara. And, you know, your heart just breaks when you see the struggle.
It does. It's heartbreaking. You know, you think about our relationship with our grandchildren and how we're to be encouragers. You know, God is the God of all encouragement. Well, God's people are to be encouragers also. If he's going to live in us, and work through us for others, we have to be like him, you know. And so we encourage our grandchildren in many different ways. as them, as though we help them with their homework or read with them or share stories or whatever, play games. We encourage them because that they blossom. They blossom under that, you know, and they do feel good about themselves. And, you know, as they should, Diana. This is just horrible, horrible what they're doing with all the pressure that is being put upon children. You know, just horrible. I want to share something with you and with the listeners as we're kind of closing down, and it's a poem written by Russell Telfer, and it is so beautiful. This is what we want our children to know. This is what we want all children to know. This is the poem. It says, to a child, to every child, you are who you are for a reason. You're part of an intricate plan. You're a precious and perfect, unique design called God's special woman or man. You look like you look for a reason. Our God made no mistake. He knit you together within the womb. You're just what he wanted to make. The parents you had were the ones he chose. And no matter how you may feel, they were custom designed with God's plan in mind. And they bear the master's seal. No, that trauma you faced was not easy. And God wept that it hurt you so. But it was allowed to shape your heart so that into his likeness you'd grow. You are who you are for a reason. You've been formed by the master's rod. You are who you are, beloved, because there is a God.
Wow, that is so beautiful, Ms. Barbara. And it does remind me of what our friend from Utah, our mental health therapist friend, Joan Landis, has reminded me, which is the neuroscience of today. Pretty much they have learned so much about the mind and how you can help. You know, it's like she said, you know, you can pretty much give individualized education, kind of like, you know, how you prefer your coffee a certain way. You know, they customize it, right, to fit you.
Yeah.
She said there is so much information on how to help a child really do really well. You know, different children. But we're going the different way. You know, this one size fits all. It hurts.
Cookie
because
cutter.
Not everybody is the same. Right.
No.
Not everybody is the same.
Each one is unique. And, you know, Diana, this knowledge about how children learn and the different ways they learn, and this is not hidden knowledge. This has been acknowledged by educators for quite some time now. Why it's all being thrown in the trash can, you know, it's not the teacher's doing. The teachers do not want it thrown in the trash can. The teachers want to teach rightly. They want to encourage children. They want to enjoy the children and have the children enjoy being in school, in class. They want to watch the children learn and see those light bulbs go off when they do learn something and the joy that spreads all over their faces, you know. Teachers want that. That's why they became teachers. They felt called to teach children. And, it's not the teachers that are throwing it in the trash can. It's the system. It's the State Board of Education here in Alabama and in other states. It's the legislature that won't step in when this unconstitutional act of putting this Common Core system dictated by the federal government into play, you know. So here we are. Here we are. We got to fight it. Mm.
Yes, we got to fight it. Well, we do live in the home of the brave, the land of the free and home of the brave. So I guess nothing new under the sun, Ms. Barbara, right? But I'm just praying that we will wake up, more parents will wake up and not punish the child, you know, that is having problems with their math or, you know, English language arts. Find out what is going on. Ask the child. Look for yourself. Look at the homework. You know, my goodness. I know there's a lot of people that's too busy and, you know, they can barely get by and they're just looking at that report card. But they really need to go beyond just looking at the report card. So, Ms. Barbara, I guess I'll close in prayer. And I thank God that He is God and we know Him. And so we just want to go before Him. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You. We thank You, Lord, that You are such an amazing God, that, Lord, You want us to come boldly to the throne of grace, Lord. I just cannot fathom that, Lord, that You want us to come. And that, Lord, You, the creator of heaven and earth and all these billions of people, Lord, that You want us to come to You and You want to hear our prayers, Lord, individually. You treat us individually. You don't just answer prayers all across like a blanket, Lord. You tend to our very needs in detail. And Lord, just as Benjamin Franklin said, Lord, have we forgotten our powerful friend? And Lord, I just pray parents today, grandparents will remember You, Lord, that You are there, that they will intercede for their children, their grandchildren, that they will ask, what is this Common Core, and find out for themselves the truth so that, Lord, they can defend that child. Lord, we just thank You for the days when we were raised and there was so much happiness in growing up still. And, Lord, it's getting darker for these little children, even kindergartners. Lord, they're trying to take the joy out of what used to be so much fun, kindergarten. Lord, forgive us for the apathy. Remove the blindness, Lord, for those who are called by Your name. And Lord, help them to look at the little children and help them to realize the truth. Lord, there is something amiss. And that, Lord, we need them to be involved. We need for them to find out the truth. Lord, we ask that You just loose, Lord, the Holy Spirit all across the land, that people, Lord, will ask you for help, ask You to help them learn the truth, Lord, so that they can find out for themselves. Lord, we just lift up these children to You. We lift up our military to You. We lift up our teachers to You. We lift up our Congress in each state and in the nation, asking, Lord, that You help us to be the kind of people we need to be and to stand in the gap for the little children. We thank You, Lord, and we love You, and we ask all these things in the precious name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Diana. I'm glad we've had this little visit tonight. And we must go forth encouraged and determined and knowing that God wants us to do what's right for the children. And with that knowledge, we will go forth.
Thank you, Ms. Barbara. God bless you.
Thank you.
And we do hope the listeners will tune in. Oh, Ms. Barbara, Colonel Icemel, we hope it's going to be on tomorrow at 1 o'clock. So we hope that people will tune in for the podcast of tomorrow. Colonel Icemel's not been on for a while, so we look forward to that. And I think what he's going to be talking about, you know, It's like you, you know, you call him the national treasure. So, folks, if
yes,
you haven't heard Colonel Eisenhower before, you need to listen in. So, and we've got plenty of podcasts that we're going to be playing the rest of this week that hopefully you'll tune in and listen to and get informed.
Yes. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you. And may God bless America. Good night.